Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us tonight on episode 28, season 3 of The Standoff with Brad and Richie here on New Zealand Sport Radio. We're here live every Wednesday on Facebook throughout the season. Good evening, Richie. Well, the Warriors fumbled their chance to end the season with a win, but we had some good matches to end the regular season. What did you think of the round and how was your weekend?
My weekend was good, Brad. Thanks for the reminder of the Warriors game, by the way. Yeah, there was some really good games with ramifications on top 8 spots. So it was a good round of footy and some really good games. How was your weekend?
Yeah, apart from sitting in the rain and watching the Warriors capitulate, it wasn't too bad. Just some good games, which I'm always into. So, yeah, happy to talk about them. Yep. So we may as well move on. Paul is not with us tonight, so the inmates are running the asylum again. So I'll try to keep an eye on all the comments and everything that are coming through, and hopefully we can keep them all and keep the ship going. But while we're here live on Wednesday evenings, 8 p.m., you can also catch our show at your convenience on iHeartRadio. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. As always, we're going to cover everything you need to know in the week that was rugby league, including our top stories of the week, a review of round 25 and our picks, and announcing our winner of the regular season tips. We'll then answer some questions from you guys, as well as some we've got for each other, before previewing finals week one, making our tips for our finals competition. Before ending the night with a recap of the Super League. So remember to send us comments and questions throughout the show. And Jacko says the ship is struggling. We're like the Warriors right now. We might be good for the first half or first hour and the fall up. But we may as well just jump straight into the top stories of the week. Richie?
Yep, let's go.
First one I had is kind of just overarching for everyone, but Telstra is going to continue to be the NRL's naming rights sponsor until at least 2027. This sees the partnership extend to 26 years. We're kind of away from it here being in New Zealand, but any thoughts on Telstra staying as the naming rights? Does that just mean the Warriors won't win the premiership until at least 2028?
Don't say that, Brad. Yeah, I'm all good with it. Doesn't really matter. It's just a name. Telstra NRL premiership rolls off the tongue kind of nice. Hopefully the Telstra versus Vodafone thing doesn't see us get too many bad calls.
Fingers crossed. Good to see them continue the name and rights, but we'll move on. Go to the Warriors. They've announced that they're going to take, we talked about it last week, that 9 games at Mount Smart next year, but they've announced after our show that they're going to take 2 home matches around New Zealand, 1 to Wellington and 1 to Napier. What's your thoughts on that? I'm sure you're happy that there's going to be a game in your neck of the woods. And Napier's not really that far from you either, really. It's just a car ride.
Napier's not far enough to keep me from going, mate. That's only a couple hours in the car, I'll happily do that. If your game, it's almost like meeting in the middle.
Yeah, I'm already trying to work out where my money's going to come from. It's going to be expensive year, I'm sure, for me in 2023, with probably a few. I still think there'll be a few games that other clubs will bring to New Zealand as well. So, I'm not going to guarantee anything on this recording, but I'm sure I'm going to pop up to as many of them as I can. And I see Simon's here tonight too. Evening, Simon. And he says, Telstra is actually a big sponsor with a lot of sports in Australia. So, they're big in there. So, looking forward to, more games in New Zealand. And, Simon said Napier is not a bad idea. To be honest, I've been to Napier once, but I've never gone for sport. So,
nice part of the world.
Experience. I might have to give Dad a call and swap cars, because I don't know if my car will handle all the driving, but we'll see. But it should be good. It's probably makes it a bit more positive than the doom and gloom we had last week with only 9 games at Mount Smart and what was going to happen. We kind of had a feeling there were going to be other games around the place. Jacko says he hopes that I'm right, that a few other clubs will bring a game, but he doubts it will happen. I'm just trying to be positive. I'm not sure. I kind of thought the only guaranteed game would be the Bulldogs, with Phil Gould basically coming out saying every team should bring their game to New Zealand. So he's kind of put his foot on the foot on it there and has to do it. But, he's getting a bit old. He probably forgot that he said that. So we'll see what happens. We've got some time before the draw's announced, so we'll know for sure by then. But at the moment, we just get to have fun speculating. But we'll go into a bit more of a controversial topic. I know we talked about it briefly last night with Ruin Hammer. Shout out to them. But Panther Taylor May has been found guilty of assault for an incident in October last year. The NRL's gone very tough on him, and they have handed out a breach notice, which includes a 2-match ban and a $7,500 fine. However, the ban's going to start next season, so he can be available for the finals. What's your take on this, Richie? Getting punished for something you did last year, but getting to receive that punishment next year?
I don't know what to feel about it, Brad. I understand the stance of wanting to have players in the big teams playing in the finals in finals time, but punishment's punishment, I guess. It's not so much that I'm, it's more the length of the ban. So something like assault, you can get a couple weeks versus some words that people say can get you 4 weeks, like we saw with our team this year. So I don't know what seems worse to you, but I know what I think's worse.
Yeah, well, I've seen the footage of what happened, and he went up behind some guy and ragdolled him down when the guy was talking to Nathan Cleary. I'm not entirely sure what he was saying to Cleary, but it looked like something that didn't really need to happen. And Jacko said, it was a member of the public, which I feel kind of takes it across the line. If it was a bit different where there was a guy coming up to Taylor May and pushing and shoving and he pushed back type thing, but he blindsided the guy. The guy didn't even see him coming. And even if he was saying something derogatory towards Cleary, from the way Cleary was reacting, it didn't look like there was anything that much going on. So I don't know. But I feel like it just shows that if you're a top side, you kind of get preferential treatment.
100%.
If you even go by the, no one's really talked about it, so I might be looking at it from the wrong angle. But I thought when you had things like this going to court, the rule was you were banned until the decision had been made. Because I know there's been a lot of complaints about guys that went to court and then were proven innocent and they had missed all that time of footy because of the rule. But this happened in October last year. So in theory, he shouldn't have been playing any games this year until it had been done. However, right or wrong that decision is, but I don't understand why he's been okay to play. It upsets me a little because I put him in my fantasy team and then this news broke and I traded him out because I thought he wouldn't be playing. and then, yeah, he's not. So I don't know. It seems weird and it's going to be interesting the next time something happens.
I think what Simon just said there in the comments, NRL keep changing their rules to suit them half the time. I agree with that completely. The consistency's never been there, and that's the problem.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to get better. It's just, I guess, going to give an argument to a lesser team if something happens, if they can do it. Like, say, if the Raiders, I'll call them a lesser team, sorry, Simon, in terms of finals this year. You know, they're the eighth team. If Jack Whiten had done the same thing, would Whiten get a two-week ban and get it next year, or would he be missing that game? A pivotal game for them as well. I would tend to think that his ban would start immediately. So, yeah, well, I'm sure this story is going to develop more, or the NRL are going to continue to try to just bury the lead and move on. So if there's any more developments, we'll talk about it next week, I'm sure. But we'll move on. Craig Bellamy has confirmed that he's going to retire from head coaching duties at the end of 2023. Do you think that we'll see the Storm kind of fall? They're kind of falling now, as harsh as that sounds. But do you expect to see an exodus of players? Is probably the right way to frame it, and that they'll basically have to start from scratch.
I think there is a pretty good chance of that. I mean, we're looking at a guy who's been at the helm there for a long tenure now, and a long, very successful tenure. And a lot of good that happens at that club, I believe, centers around Bellamy. I mean, look at the development of players, the culture. There's no denying he's done a fantastic job, and taking him away from that is going to, whether they like it or not, is going to have some kind of effect on the way that club is run and the culture. So, like you say, I mean, they've had a tough run of injuries this year, which has seen some up and down on-field performance. So, yeah, maybe we might see, you know, a bit of a rebuild stage from Melbourne finally. It feels like they've never had to rebuild. So, yeah.
And I know they were still talking about him being a mentor. I'm not even sure who their head coach would be. Like, I feel like Stephen Kearney's not going to get that gig. We'll have some time to discuss it, obviously. But I'm sure if next year is 100%, he said it's going to be his last year, I'm sure they're going to start the process now of, this is going to be the guy that takes my place, and we're going to feed him through. I can't remember his name. There's a guy on the tip of my tongue. I'm not going to remember. It'll come to me out of nowhere later on in the show, and I'll scream it. But I feel like he could be the guy. I think he's an assistant at the Roosters now. I'm not sure. I can't. I'll figure it out, and we'll talk about it when I remember finally. But next bit of news, Kalyn Ponga. It doesn't feel like a show unless we talk about him at some point. So he's announced that he's withdrawing from World Cup selection. An interesting statement, since I don't think he would have been picked anyway due to his injuries and other fullbacks that can take that spot for Australia. Well, what's your thought on that? Do you think Kalyn Ponga would have been in the World Cup, or would they have just left him out?
I think if you take injuries away, you take the bad concussions away this year, I think he would have been selected in the squad somewhere.
Yeah.
Obviously, very good fullback, but versatile as well, can cover the bench and the halves. But, yeah, I almost wasn't expecting him to be available anyway, just because of him missing the end of the season and having a couple of bad concussions at the back end of this year. So, wasn't really a surprise to me.
I can just see him up against the Kiwis or Tonga and getting concussed again. And then, I don't think that's going to do him any good. So I think the right decision is not to go to the World Cup, because he needs to get better. And the Knights, were definitely hoping that he wasn't going to get the decision or make the decision to want to play in the World Cup, because it's clear to see that they really need him at their best if they're even going to be competitive. So, think the right decision is made. I just don't think it was going to be a starter anyway. So, continuing the talks of players wanting to play on, Sean Johnson said in an interview that he would like to continue to play past his current deal. What's your take there, Richie? Would you like to see SJ go around again in 2024?
Yeah, I mean, the old school SJ fan in me from his early days would say yes. A lot's going to depend on what we see from him next year. I'm hoping, and as a Warriors fan, you're always hopeful that a new coach, maybe a new culture, some new signings come in and will spark something in him. We've seen it in bits and pieces this year, but only really fleeting glimpses. It's not the consistency you'd hope. So that's the key to it, mate. I'm a fan of SJ. I have been since his early days, and I want to see him go out on a good note. But, you know, I'm also a realist, and I've seen too many lean years now that if he starts thinking the joint out next year, we've got able replacements.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to leave the door shut on it. Play it by ear, see how he goes next year, see how Tamara Martin, Metcalf, Volkman, how they are all going, and then you approach it. I think he'd be comfortable being back in New Zealand, so I feel like even a cheeky lowball offer, if you're like, yeah, we'll give you another year at this much, if he really wants to keep playing, he'll take it. He won't go back and move to another club in Australia. So
no.
Play it by ear. I know it was a kind of a cheeky question a whole year out to ask, but I thought I may as well since he asked the question. And we had the Dragons. We'll move on. My favorite club. They have banned their players from having a Mad Monday this year. What's your take on that?
Did they give a reason why?
Well, I think they're still having horror flashbacks of the barbecue that cost them a playoff spot last year.
Fair enough. It seems a bit, I don't know, mate. It's a long season to go through with in the trenches with your mates, and it seems a bit strange to me you won't let the boys unwind a bit at the end of the long season. I mean, you're going to get through that Mad Monday and then be good for preseason again, aren't you? I don't see the harm in it, but as long as nobody gets their nose dirty and gets into trouble.
I think it's just almost guaranteed that the Dragons will get in trouble. So that's probably why. It's just, I guess they're just trying to put out fires before they start. So
yeah, maybe.
And no one really wants to party with the Dragons anyway. So, but yeah, Simon's not happy. He said, how dare they violate the great tradition of Mad Monday.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I also saw they said that they're not giving permission to the team doing anything on their own. Like the players, if they're like, well, bugger it, we're going to do something together. They've kind of like forebode any get-togethers. So, yeah, I don't know.
I'm not a fan, mate. You know me. I like a good shindig. I'm not a fan of that stuff.
But, yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm guaranteed if they're going to break COVID protocols to have a party, they're going to not listen to the top brass at the Dragons and have a party anyway. So look forward to that story next week about how they were all caught partying. But we'll keep going because there was quite a bit of news. Rumors are swirling that Des Hasler may have an early exit at the Sea Eagles, and that Tommy and Jake Trbojevic are reportedly uneasy at the club and may look elsewhere. All wild rumors right now, obviously, but where there's smoke, there's generally fire. What's your take on Des potentially leaving and the Trbojevic brothers looking to jump off the ship as well, potentially? It's all wild speculation right now. But
Well, up until before Rainbow Jersey Gate, I wouldn't have, in my wildest dreams, thought Dez's job was in trouble. I thought they were probably looking pretty good. Last year, they looked very good. Yeah.
They fooled us all, Richie. They fooled us all.
Absolutely, they have. I mean, it just seems that ever since Rainbow Jersey Gate, that club's gone south. I don't know what's happened, but, yeah, also you take Tommy and Jake out of that club, hypothetically speaking, that removes a lot of the heart and soul of that team, and I think it'll be a big rebuild. So,
yeah, from what I understand, apparently the club wants to keep Dez, but basically all the rest of the coaching staff that Dez has got, they want gone. And we'll just see what happens. It sounds like he's not too keen on losing his team that he's got around him. And yeah, I think if Dez goes, you'll see a lot of those names go. It's not like they're losing a lot of players already anyway. So it is kind of a rebuild already. I just don't see any coaches out there that can walk straight in and turn the club around. So yeah, I don't know. It's at least going to be something to keep us talking about league when there's only limited games to review. So
how about that from Simon there? Get rid of Manly and bring back the North Sydney Bears.
Yeah, that'll never happen. It'll never happen. I know everyone hates Manly, but I've grown an affection for them for some reason. So I'd like to see them go back to improving. So it would be good for me. But from one coach struggling, we'll go to another. Apparently Kevin Walters is back in the firing line and fighting for his job after the Broncos fall from form. I feel like we talk about this every couple of months, that Walters is on the way out, and then the Broncos hit a nice bit of form and he's safe, and then it falls apart again. Do you see the Broncos getting rid of him?
It just proves how much a head coach job is results driven, eh?
Yeah.
Again, you take it back 6 weeks and they're sitting around the top four. Everyone was hailing Kevin Walters for bringing back the spirit of the Broncos, bringing them back from the foot of the table, putting them back where they were meant to be. Now they lose a few games and miss out on the eight narrowly, and he's fighting for his job. So I don't know what to believe, mate. Also, I don't know if that's the right way to look at it. For the Broncos, I mean, they've come from a last place finish and a few bottom four finishes the last few years, to end up finishing ninth and just missing the finals. That's a big improvement. It just
it's looks bad. On what they've been,
massively so. It just looks bad because they really should have made finals, but they choked it at the final hurdle in the last few weeks. So, if you look at it the other way, it's a massive improvement for them from where they've been.
Yeah, and I don't see him losing his job at the moment. If the Broncos, the way they've been playing the last couple of weeks, continues into next season, I think there'll be conversations to be had. Yeah. But I think like you said, they went from wooden spoon and being bottom of the barrel to going to ninth. That's, you know, it's not what the Cowboys and the Sharks have done, but it's a step in the right direction. So there's something there. But yeah, it just seems, we'll talk about it when we get into the game. It just seems that there is something missing at that club right now. And I'm sure that's something they'll figure out in the off season and fix. But go in. We'll continue with the bad news. NRL games will no longer be played at Leichhardt Oval due to a lack of upgrades to the facilities. The Tigers got to send out that legendary stadium the only way they know how against the Raiders. But what's your take on that? It's such a, you know,
iconic,
very iconic stadium, but you can kind of see if it's kind of fallen apart and they're not going to invest the money into upgrading and fixing it, they're going to move away from having games there. We saw, how many weeks ago was it, where one of the stands broke and all the spectators fell out. You don't want that happening in an NRL game. So I understand, but I'm sure people that have more of an attachment to that ground than I do will be very upset that it's not going to be there anymore. But what's your take on it?
Yeah, it is iconic, and there's something cool about the suburban grounds in Sydney for some of these teams. Looks as though it's not in a very good state, though, so you can understand from that point of view. Maybe it's a sign for the Tigers to just give up the ghost as a club in general.
Yeah, that's yeah. horrible to say. Come on.
We can keep it at 16 and even numbers.
I'm not going to get into that argument because our team's not far from them.
No, we're not. So,
next bit of news, we did already talk about this weeks ago, but it's officially been announced. Christian Wolf's officially signed as assistant coach for the Dolphins with the plan for him to move into Wayne Bennett's top job in a couple of years, a la the West Tigers' plan of success. So, yeah, well done on Christian Wolf. I really wanted him to be coming to the Warriors, as I've said on this show many a times. But I feel like, yeah, the Dolphins definitely looks like a more exciting prospect for a young up-and-coming coach wanting – can't really call him young, can we? But a new coach to the NRL head coaching stocks. There's just more to work with there than coming into a rusty old ship like the Warriors. So congratulations for Wolf, and hopefully he does well there for them. And yeah. Last bit of news before I get into the Warriors end of year awards, Joseph Suaalii's mentor, I'll call him mentor because I can't really find a lot of relationship recently with these two that's in the media, but his name's Steve Nateski. Sorry if I pronounce your name wrong, Steve. I know you watch. He stated that the Roosters will need to get rid of James Tedesco in order to re-sign Joseph. What do you think, Richie? I know Australian Rugby Union's throwing big money his way, but I don't even think the Roosters would consider letting Tedesco go for anyone.
No, and why would you? He's the New South Wales captain. He's a shoo-in for the Kangaroos team, one of the best players on the planet. So big claims there. I know young Joseph has massive raps on him, and I just think he's a very young man. So, you know, he can bide his time. There's no reason to be throwing out that kind of talk just yet. He's still a teenager.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's going to be something massive, and the way we've seen him perform this year, you know he's going to be something massive, and people like Australian Rugby Union are going to throw around massive dollars. So at the end of the day, we always say money talks. So,
yeah, I think Jacko said that Phil Gould said he'll go to Union in time. I think he's more likely to go to Union than Tedesco leaving the Roosters. So, and he'll get bored in Union, like Jacko said as well. But you go get offered bajillions of dollars, you go play Union for a couple of years, then you come back to league.
He may not get bored in Union. You know, it has its upsides. Yeah, it has its upsides. They do travel the world. They go a lot more places than you do in league, but even though the product isn't superior in Rugby Union.
I think Valandis was the one who said it. It was a bad take, but he said, like, he basically said he'd get bored in Union as well, going like he wouldn't get the ball as much and that. And I was like, so you're basically saying he's going to do less work for more money and get to travel the world. It sounds like such a horrible thing.
Yeah.
But at his age, to be honest, he could go for 3 or 4 years, play Union, and then come back and still be a young NRL player. So
yeah, still not even in his prime.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But yeah, I just wanted to make it clear that there's been no confirmation from Suaalii or anyone that this mentor is actually involved in his day-to-day life anymore. It could have been a guy, you know, I was his coach when he was in high school, you know, and this is what's going to happen. We just don't know. And it also could just be brought up just due to the fact that it's finals and you want to, you know, get people talking. I don't know. But yeah, I'm sure it's going to be a heavily talked about topic on this show for the foreseeable future until a decision's been made on what he's going to do in the next step of his career. So we'll keep our ears to the ground and hear what we hear and let you guys know when we know. But we'll move on to my last bit of the news stories. The Warriors had their end of year awards on the pitch after their match last weekend. It was kind of good. It was to like try to get the fans involved, but it was also due to the fact that half the team were basically leaving New Zealand the next day. So it was really the only time you could do it. Interesting winners on some of them. First up, we had Reece Walsh won the Vodafone People's Choice Award. To be honest, I'm a Vodafone phone user and I didn't see anything asking me to vote for a People's Choice Award. So I don't know, but
would you have voted for Walsh?
No, but People's Choice, it's kind of like your favorite player. So we know who my favorite player is. So I would have gone for Ben Murdoch-Masila because I'm extremely biased. Viliami Valia won Rookie of the Year, which
I agree with that.
I was trying to think of other rookies that really did as much as he did this year. And I think he was really the only one that could say they ended the year positively. So won that. Bunty Afoa and Ben Murdoch-Masila won Clubman of the Year together. So well done for that. Tohu Harris won the NRL Players Player of the Year, which is the award that the actual Warriors players picked their Player of the Year. And then Yuan Aiken won Simon Mannering Medal for Player of the Year. What's your take on that? I had a look. For those of you that don't know, I write my Simon says he's a Vodafone TV customer and broadbander. He didn't get a vote for it either. So I don't know where it came from. It might just be maybe the company Vodafone picked a player. But I write my reviews of every Warriors game and I pick a 3-2-1, kind of like the Dally M's in my own. I only started it this year, but I had a look and it's very stacked. It's not the top three players for this year I wouldn't be picking now. Reece Walsh is still up there because he had a very strong start and kind of built up the points. But Yuan Aiken, he is on the list, but he's like my sixth or seventh. And I don't know if that's just because he just stayed consistent and he didn't do anything more than I expected, so I didn't give him the points. But I've seen a lot of people, like Jacko saying as well, he doesn't know how Aiken won that award. What's your take on it? I thought he played pretty well for the Warriors this year, but to be the player of the year, I don't know.
I thought he was solid. I don't think he was a lot more than solid. Definitely, if I were to think of someone winning Player of the Year, his name wouldn't have been the first one to jump to my head. To me, it's actually hard because the season we had, it's hard to think of someone that was outstanding every week. Tohu might be one where he's another one who's pretty consistent when he's there. He missed a chunk of the season too, so AFB has games where he's magnificent and then he just has seems to have brain fades, which makes me go cold on him in terms of maybe picking a player of the year. So I don't even know, Brad. For you, who was it? Like, who did your 3-2-1s point at?
All right, so I'm spoiling it for anyone that's interested in reading my season review that comes out in a couple of weeks. But my top, doing the 3-2-1, Tohu Harris ended at the top with 23 points. Reece Walsh was second on 20. Adam Fanua-Blake was third on 17. And Josh Curran was fourth on 13. Ewan Aiken was fifth on 9.
Yeah.
So he was in my top five. But, yeah. And like I said, a lot of that was early season. Like I look, Reece Walsh was heavily involved in like the first 5-6 rounds and then disappeared off the face of the earth. The last time Walsh was mentioned, he got 1 point from me in the game against the Rabbitohs where we lost 48-10.
And I think I think that's it, Brad. A lot of people had great periods in the season, but I don't think anyone was really great throughout the whole season. I think Curran had a real good purple patch, and then for whatever reason, he had injuries.
When he got injured, he came back slow.
And then he started missing selection. I think Wade Egan has made big strides this year. And again, he's had some really good patches, but it's very, very tough this year. Very tough to pick a solid standout for the whole year.
Yeah. So I already know I'm going to get a lot of pushback for Reece Walsh being in my top three players of the year, but I can't change the system. It's how it was. And if you hit a bit of form and kind of do some good things for a couple of weeks, you're going to boost up. So.
Yeah,
that's what happened there.
One thing I will say is I don't know that anyone played well enough this year to be worthy of winning a medal with the name Simon Mannering on it, because that's someone that played 100% every week for the whole season.
Yeah, and he was so upset he didn't even come to the old boys' day. So, that's all we had for the news there. I know some teams have already announced their award winners as well, but I thought we'd hold back because there was quite a lot of news. So I'd hold back and I'd probably do a bit of that next week when we had a couple more. I know the Cowboys kind of did theirs. I think Tigers did theirs as well. But I'll go through and I'll find all the winners, compile them, and we'll talk about them next week. But we may as well jump into injury ward. It's only two, really only one that counts for teams that are still playing. But Joey Manu strained his calf. They reckon he could only be sidelined for 2 to 3 weeks. So he could potentially miss the finals, depending on how the Roosters go. But he will be fine for the World Cup, which was the only concern I had when I saw that he got injured. Hopefully he bounces back from that quick, because the Kiwis are going to really need him. And I don't really care where the Roosters go in the finals. The last bit, it doesn't really affect anyone, but it's worries adjacent, so I thought we'd better mention it. Tamari Martin played on for a little bit with a collapsed lung. He was sent to hospital overnight. He didn't require a chest strain or anything, so he's bounced back reasonably well, and he's in good spirits. So it's good to see that nothing too major happened there. So your takes on Manu and Martin there, Richie, before we move on?
My take on Manu is similar to what Jacko's just said. As long as he's fresh for the Kiwis, nothing else really matters for me. Pretty brave from Tamari Martin to play him with a collapsed lung. Hope he recovers well, because, that man's had a couple of pretty out there health problems and injuries in his short career so far. So we want him nice and fresh when he comes here next year.
Yeah. And so we'll move on to Naughty Boy Corner. A whole lot of fines, only one suspension. So Matt Croker from the Knights, he's got a 2-match ban for grade 3 dangerous contact. Not in the playoffs, so he, like May, will only have to start a suspension next year. Corey Horsburgh got a $750 fine for a grade 1 high tackle. Zane Musgrove's got a $1,000 fine for a grade 1 dangerous contact. Jake Simpkin from the Tigers, $1,800 fine for grade 1 dangerous contact as well. Zach Lomax got $3,000 for a grade 1 crusher tackle. Jermaine Hopgood got $1,000 for a grade 1 dangerous throw. And Hami Silly from the Rabbitohs got $750 for a grade 1 dangerous throw. Another week where Nelson got put on a report and didn't get a fine. So we'll keep that going. So, all the injury boys, and we may as well get, I know we're going long here. We'll jump into the games. We'll start off with the NRLW, Richie. Another game week where I didn't get to watch as many. I'm going to be able to watch a lot more of them this week now that there's not 8 games to cover as well. But the Roosters defeated the Dragons 34-6. Broncos defeated the Titans 22-4. And my beautiful Knights won again 18-16 over the Eels. And leads us to the first kind of match of the season this week, because we've got the sixth place Titans playing the fifth place Eels, the fourth place Broncos playing the third place Dragons. And then the last game of the round is the second place Knights playing the first place Roosters. So you watch any of the women's games?
No, not this weekend, mate. Like I was telling you before we went on air, I was on call this weekend for work, so not a lot of time to catch any of the NRLW games, but looks like the Roosters were flexing their muscle. They're looking good again. And, yeah, your Knights, mate.
Yeah.
They keep performing well, so sets up some great matches this weekend, Knights versus Roosters. Yeah, it's first, second, third versus fourth, fifth versus sixth, so should be some more cracker games this weekend.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to those. But, yeah, now I'll pass it off to you and let you talk about the final round of the regular season, which started on Thursday with the Eels and Storm.
Yep, so Thursday night, the Eels 22 over the Storm 14. Three tries apiece. Dylan Brown, Will Pennicini, Mike Osivo, the Storm, Harry Grant, Nick Meaney, and David Nofoluma. The Eels, what is it with them and these top teams, mate? They seem to well and truly have the wood on the Storm, beating the Panthers a couple times. So how does that make you feel about them heading into the finals? Are they smoky? But what do you think of the game first and foremost?
Yeah, I've got on here that the Eels just continue to take big scalps. Albeit it was against a Storm without Jerome Hughes. You can't help who you're playing against. So I thought the Eels were the better side the majority of the night. You know, the Storm kind of got in the back end of the game and made it look a little bit better, scoring two quick tries. Simon said the Storm really let him down. I think they let us all down. Oh, everyone but Richie. Richie had faith in the Eels. But yeah, the Eels are a better side. Dylan Brown was great again, and Mitch Moses is slowly changing my opinion about him. It's taking him some time, but I thought he played really good too. The halves night was made super easy by the fact that the Eels pack were just doing the hard yards up the front. Yeah. They bullied the Storm pack all night, and Gutherson kept inserting himself into the game. He was just making the Storm's night difficult. They're building momentum. I don't know if I'm ever going to be convinced entirely that they can go deep into the playoffs, but they very well could, if not all the way, if they keep playing like this. They could be the first team in some time to beat the Panthers three times in a year, depending how they go this week. But yeah, they're building at the right time, which has been their biggest problem in years past, is that they built too early. Yeah, they kind of had that little down patch, and now they're on the up. So I'm never going to put my money on it.
Yeah.
But they definitely look like world beaters at the moment. We just have to see how that goes when they're up against the Panthers this week. But the Storm, they just struggled without Hughes, which has been a common theme all year. Whenever he hasn't been there, they kind of looked a bit wayward. That flourish at the end made the results seem close, but they just weren't good enough, as brutally honest as I can be. They made 11 errors. They were penalized 8 times, and that's not going to help you get a win against anyone. And unless their respect for the ball and discipline improve, they won't go far in the finals. But I never bet on the Eels. I never bet against the Storm either.
Yeah, well, part of the reason I felt that the Eels might get up over the Storm was mainly because Hughes was out. Yeah. But like you say, the Eels can only beat who's in front of them. And when you look at their stats, they made half the errors of the Storm, only 6 errors to the Storm's 12. Their completion rate was really great, 31 out of 36. So, you know, even without Hughes there, the Storm is still a quality unit, and the Eels were really accurate and put them away. So that's a good scalp for them heading into the finals. I'm sure it'll be a confidence builder.
Definitely.
Next game was the Bulldogs getting up over the Sea Eagles in a nail biter, 21-20. It was 4 tries apiece for the Bulldogs. Braden Burns, Zach Docker-Clay, Aaron Shoup, and Kyle Flanagan. For Manly, Deli Cherry Evans, Christian Tuipulotu, Marty Tapau, and Haumole Alakuatu. Very close, Brad. And the young superstar 5'8", Matt Burton, came up clutch in this one.
Yeah, so I've got on here, the first note I made was Seagulls finally showed some fight, but the Bulldogs refused to quit and snuck home with a win. That collapse that Manly had, though, however, kind of shows the trouble Manly's in right now. Feel like I'm going to talk about that in a couple of games as well. But they've fallen off the side of a cliff, and as we spoke about it earlier, there's apparently going to be plenty of changes at the club in the off-season, and they need to make some changes if Manly want to get back into the finals picture. I'm not sure what those changes need to be, but something needs to change. They can't just rely on Tommy Turbo coming back in and fixing everything. But yeah, they just made too many errors, and you can kind of, you can see that they're just not on the same page. Even when they were scoring those tries, you know, it kind of seemed like they weren't really all working together. It's kind of like a few of them would do something and it would work, and then they would kind of go off playing on their own script. But the Bulldogs, they continue to improve. The Bulldogs of old would have given up in this game when the going got tough, but the side's got heart. Braden Burns looked great. Burden's becoming more of a complete half every week. And I think they're going to be a dangerous side next season, which I think we've both said multiple times this year. Yeah. But and I've also gone here, they could potentially be one of the only teams that didn't make finals that can go into the off-season with optimism.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think out of all the games this weekend that were won with a field goal, I preferred that one.
And before we move on, Jacko, I forgot to mention that. He said, did you see Marty Tapau's video showing him not getting the ball multiple times?
Yeah.
I did see, and that kind of just shows, like, I know he's on the way out, so you could basically say he's a disgruntled employee that's about to leave the business. But, yeah, that just kind of shows, you know, the inner turmoil that, like, they're having goes in. You know, props love to have the ball, so I can see his frustration if he's getting cutout passes at him all the time. But, yeah, I feel like it's not the right look to go to, like, the social medias and do that. You know, talk to the players, be a man about it, you know. Go like, I want the ball more, or call for it, or do something. But yeah, going onto social media and, you know, it's almost like talking shit behind their back in a way.
Especially if you're looking at landing a contract elsewhere, it's not exactly selling yourself, is it?
It doesn't scream team player, no.
No.
But yeah, I tried to stay away from that ball the best I could when these big players going to tackle you, you know. But yeah, it's like Jacko said, it was hilarious. Yeah, it's just not a good look for Tapau.
Yeah, agreed. Anyway, let's move on to the next Friday game. Roosters 26 over the Rabbitohs 16. I tipped the Rabbitohs, so I think Brad got me there. 4-3 in Roosters' favour. For the Roosters, Angus Crichton, James Tedesco, Sam Walker, and Egan Butcher. For the Rabbitohs, Peter Mamozelos and Tane Milne with a double. It was 20-6 at halftime to the Roosters, Brad. So the Rabbitohs bite back a bit in the second half. But, yeah, Roosters looking good heading into finals, aren't they?
Yeah, I've got on here, my first note was there were a few key players out for both sides, but I thought it was a hell of a game. Rabbitohs didn't play their best, but to still only lose by 10, I'm sure that, you know, that's not too bad. And I'm sure they're rather going to want to win the rematch this week than win this one. Latrell Mitchell was dangerous again. He set up a nice try. He did get sin-binned for silly reasons, but... I think the biggest thing for them was the loss of Cameron Murray in the first minute.
Yeah.
That was a huge blow. We've talked about how integral he is to this side, and it kind of impacted the Rabbitohs both on attack and defense. Lachlan Elias had a rough night defensively. and he can expect a lot more traffic coming his way this week, I'm sure. But the it wasn't too bad for what it was, and it's a game you don't mind losing by 10 if you've got eyes on a bigger prize the following week. Yeah. My opinion, you never want to lose games, obviously, but there's, you know, would you rather win this game and lose next week or lose this one and win next week? It's the thing there. But the Roosters, they look clinical, which is something they've been doing for the past month and more. As I said, they targeted Elias all night. They had Angus Crichton running over him constantly. Sam Walker was thriving out there. He had a great night at the kicking tee and scored a pretty nice try on his own. As I keep saying, the rematch this week should be outstanding. And it's fair to say whichever side wins this one could be a favorite to go to the grand final, if not go all the way. It's tough that one of these teams is going to be out at the end of this weekend, because I think both of them had potential to go deep. But that's elimination football for you.
Only problem coming out of this one I see for the Roosters is Joey Manu having to spend a couple of weeks on the sideline. Terrible timing for that to happen. Superstar player, one of the Roosters' best. You think they can overcome it and still manage to notch wins this weekend and beyond?
I've picked them. So spoilers for ahead, I've picked the Roosters. I think they'll get the job done. Without, you know, Manu's a big loss, but I think it's that clinical aspect. And the Rabbitohs, my biggest thing this year with them has been the error rate. So if they start dropping balls at the start of the game, it's over for them, in my opinion, where the Roosters just don't make mistakes like that. But again, if we go into the show next week and the Rabbitohs have won, I'm not going to be shocked either. It's a flip of the coin match, as cliche as that sounds. But yeah, I think either one, whoever wins, will be dangerous.
Yeah, no, I agree. Saturday.
There was no early game, was there?
Unfortunately, there was, mate. And unfortunately, it was the Warriors 26 going down to the Titans 27. 5-4 in the Warriors' favour, actually, in that department. So Jesse Arthurs, Josh Curran, Dylan Watene-Zelezniak, Josh Curran with a second, and Viliami Valia for the Titans. AJ Brimson, Bo Furmore, Jaden Campbell, and former Warrior Borley Turner. 20-6 at halftime. Brad, I think we looked good for a big period of this game. Almost felt like we had an unattainable lead with 10 minutes to go. But as we so often see with the Warriors,
there's no such thing.
Even 14-point leads with 10 minutes to go are not safe, are they?
No, we talked about it. We were talking quite a lot through the game. I was there, obviously. They started well. We'll start with the positives. We don't want to be all doom and gloom. I thought Reece Walsh had one of his better games in some time. He was creating heaps of scoring opportunities, and the Warriors took them with both hands. The forwards looked good. Curran was back to his best. Viliami Valia had a good night, a great solo try where he kind of just disappeared and made Tanner Boyd tackle David Fifita. And it looked like they were going to run away with it. But around the 60-minute mark, coincidentally, around the same time Reece Walsh went off injured, they kind of fell off. They couldn't tackle even when they were in the lead. They missed 52 tackles. And they just left the door wide open for the Titans to waltz. So it was a disappointing way for the Warriors to end the season. But are we really surprised with how it's been and arguably their worst season ever? And I've got on here Titans, full credit for them staying in the fight. They haven't got the best record at Mount Smart, but after Jaden Campbell scored, I think I talked to you about it before we went live, when he scored that try in the 73rd minute, you kind of saw the Warriors go, oh no, and the Titans, you know, all stand up straight and get a second wind. And that's how it felt. Like, after that try, it was just all one-way traffic. The Titans, you just knew they were going to get the win at that point. Tanner Boyd was great for them. He was really doing well in the halves. Campbell and AJ Brimson are just dangerous in open space. And the Titans won't be happy with how the season's gone, but ending it with a win's a bonus. And I think they'll be looking forward to hitting the ground running next year with a better spine, which should make them more formidable. And I see Jacko mentioned in there, Valia's got the potential to be a real strike center. Yeah, I think he's got all the talent in the world, and being completely facetious, it most likely means he'll be at another club probably halfway through next year, knowing what the Warriors do.
Don't say that.
But yeah, he's definitely a kid. Like, we're going to talk about it when we get to your question to me a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But as bad as this year's been, I think the time in first grade for guys like him is probably going to be beneficial for the Warriors moving forward. You know, they got through some rough patches here, have learned some harsh lessons. And if Andrew Webster can come in and do something with Justin Morgan, he still wants to work at the Warriors. He can cut oranges for halftime, I guess. I don't know. But get him away from teaching these kids how to tackle, because if the Warriors don't improve their defense, it doesn't matter what they do. They won't do any better next year until they learn how to tackle. As they say, defense wins championships. But, yeah, they just need to learn how to tackle. It's beyond a joke now. It makes me upset.
No, I agree. But I also thought that, you know, 14-point lead, there were a couple moments that swung this one. Freddie Lussick's penalty for a silly push in the play of the ball. They score off the back of that, and that started the whole rot. And then we saw AFB give away a penalty in the 78th, 79th minute for a high tackle on Jaden Campbell, I believe. I didn't like the lying down for the penalty, but then we saw Matt Lodge do that early in the year against Canberra, and we said nothing. Yeah. So.
It was karma. It was karma for what we did to the Raiders.
Karma.
And then AFB and Golden Point threw an
silly offload. Yeah.
Which was nobody. Never on.
Yeah. So with architects of our own demise, it's been that way a lot this season. So should we leave it at that?
Yeah. Before we move on, though, sorry, Jacko said something that actually resonates with me. He said it was a nothing game, entertaining, but who cares? Kind of felt that when the game was over and the Warriors had lost, I was like, ah, shit, you know. But then I came to the realization that the season was done, we could move on, and I kind of left the game not as upset as I normally am when I'm leaving a game. I did have the Warriors, I've got to write a review about this when I get home, which I'm not looking forward to. But yeah, it was kind of the season's done, we can scratch it out, move on. So yeah, it was entertaining at least, but yeah, I would have preferred a win.
Yeah, exactly. And that's it. It was entertaining. It didn't mean anything, but a loss like that still pisses you off. Let's be honest. Let's move on. Brad's other favorite team, Dragons, ending the Broncos' final hopes. So, hey, there you go. They're not your favorite team, but at least they did something good. 22-12 was the final score. 4-2 for the Dragons. Jack Bird, Matthew Fengai, and one of his tries was amazing. One of the great tries of 2022. Cody Ramsey got the other try for the Broncos. Deluise Hoyta and Billy Walters. Best part of this game for me was the Red V ending ending their season for good.
Yeah.
Sorry, Broncos fans.
We talked about it. We talked about it last week. The Broncos weren't going to make the 8 anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they would have wanted to get a win to at least make it look like they were going to have a shot. But their horror run continued. It was another shocking display. We did talk about it earlier, but it's hard to believe this side was top 4 not that long ago. Patrick Carrigan returned and he looked good in his return, but this team just looked like their heart wasn't in it, and they just wanted the season over. And Nicholas asked a question about it. We'll keep that for the actual question segment, so I'll wait around for that, Nicholas. But yeah, Tamara Martin's injury wasn't pretty, but thankfully he's okay. this kind of goes in with Nicholas's question, but I've put in here, there's plenty of rumors about the Broncos camp not gelling, and it's hard to argue with what you see here. I don't know what they can do to fix it straight away, but they've got great players in their squad. So they're another team that if they can sort things out, they could be a threat. And Jacko said they peaked too early and ran out of energy. Yeah. I think they peaked too early, believed their hype, and just thought everything would be easy. But yeah, now we get to the horrible part of the show where I have to talk nice things about the Dragons. But they looked really good. And once again, Ben Hunt played a massive part in it. He kicked his sixth 40-20 for the year.
Amazing.
And he was pinpoint with the boot all night and just had a field day against his old club. I'm sure the Dragons contract offer towards him is going to be a little bit sweeter now. And as you said earlier, Matthew, how do you say his last name?
Fugai.
I always get it wrong.
Matty, it's a funny one, mate. Just saying real fast. Yeah.
He was hard to stop. And it was just a good performance from all the Dragons, really. I don't know if they're going to become a top eight side next year, but they're at least building into a handy footy side. And like Jacko said, the Dragons are nothing without Hunt. If we hear news that Ben Hunt's leaving, scratch them. They're done. But yeah,
you
said, he's in
there. You said that at the start of this year, though. Scratch them, they're done.
And I was right. Are they playing finals, Richie?
They're not last place.
They're not last place, but that's true. But
if you're not first, you're last, I guess.
Exactly. But yeah, it was a good performance for them. And I think they have got the bones of a good team there. Much as I love to hate them, I still don't understand why I do. They're the team I picked this year to hate. I'll probably have a new team to hate next year. Keep things interesting. But yeah, disappointing for the Broncos. And I'm sure they're very glad the season's over now.
Yeah. Worst thing for the Dragons is they're not going to have the chance to go out on the large for Mad Monday. So watch team morale plummet next year. Cowboys beat the Panthers 38-8, albeit a reserve Panthers team.
Yeah.
They rested pretty much most of their squad, to be fair. It was 7-2. Murray Taulangi, Valentine Holmes with a hat-trick. Scotty Drinkwater, Hamiso Tabuai-Fadou, and Reece Robson getting the tries for the Cowboys. And for the Panthers was Robert Jennings and Taruva, the young Fijian outside back, who looks a really good prospect. But yeah, the depleted Panther side didn't really have a lot to offer up. The Cowboys did what you probably expect them to do against the second string side, Brad.
Yeah, I don't have much to say here. They got an easy win against Panthers B side. Valentine Holmes had an early night, but he made a huge impact before he went off. Decent performance from everyone. I would be worried if the errors continue to stay in double digits, but I think you can kind of brush it off in this one because they were a bit more relaxed against soft competition. Mm. I feel like they'll be more switched on when they're actually playing competitive sides. They're still smoky in the final series, but I think regardless of what happens, if they end up getting eliminated this week or not, or they won't get eliminated, will they?
No.
If they lose this week or not, I think they'll be proud of how far they've got. They'll pick for many as the spoon. Thankfully, neither of us picked them as our spoon contender. But yeah, I think this surprised all of us with how they've gone. And the Panthers, nothing really to say. They kept the score lower than I thought they would, but they never had a chance in this match. But at least a few of the fringe players got a run around.
Yeah. Same as you, mate. Like, that game was pretty much what I expected. If the Cowboys hadn't have done that against the Panthers lineup that they named, you'd be a bit worried for the Cowboys, but they did what they should have done.
Yeah.
So moving on to Sunday, we had the Sharks getting up over the Knights, 38-16, was 7-3. Brighton Nakora, future warrior Luke Metcalf with a runaway try, length of the field effort. Brighton Nakora grabbed another two, actually, so he had a hat-trick. Renato Mulitalo, Jesse Ramien and Lockie Miller rounding out the tries for the Sharks. Three tries for the Knights, Tex Hoy and a double for Dom Young. Was pretty close at halftime, 12-all, but then the Sharks pulling away after halftime, Brad.
Yeah, I didn't really have much to say in this one either. It was close first half, but Sharks ran away. I've got on here about Metcalf scoring a great length of the field try. Mm. Good to finally see him get another game in first grade after being shunned for most of the year. Nakora, he's back to his best, scoring their well-deserved hat trick. Wasn't their best first half, but they made up for it in the second. Hines continued to direct the side well, and they're in prime position to make a run in the finals. Another surprise team like the Cowboys that should be proud of the year. Knights, they did better than I expected, but you just knew they wouldn't stay in the race for the whole match. Dom Young scored a double and has been one of the better performers for the Knights this year, I think. Mm. They just struggle to get points right now, and I don't see this getting fixed next year unless Ponga finds his form and stays healthy. And they, like so many other teams, will be happy the season's over. And yeah, Jacko said Metcalf's got real pace and quick off the mark as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was quick as a hiccup, as I like to say. That ball just was there for him. He snatched it up and was gone, which I'd kind of seen highlights in the lower grades of him doing the same thing, but it is a different level. I guess you could kind of say this is against the Knights as well, so you can kind of say it's not that level either. But yeah, it was great. And yeah, really looking forward to seeing what he can do as a Warrior.
Yeah, yeah, that try made me feel all warm and fuzzy. That one, I smiled pretty hard at that.
Yeah,
started imagining him wearing our colours doing that. Fingers crossed. The last game of the round, the Raiders over the Tigers, 56-10, 9-2. Matt Temuco, Sebastian Chris, Nick Kotrick, Jordan Rapana, Hudson Young, Xavier Savage, Jamal Fogarty, Hudson Young, and Josh Papali'i. 2 tries to the Tigers, both within 10 minutes after halftime. Dane Laurie and Big Ken Maumalo, but this was, nightmare game for the Tigers, Brad. Another one. This one was done and dusted early, and half time, you sort of thought it could be anything. So the Tigers managed to peg back a couple early in the second half, but yeah, still big loss.
Yeah, you see 56-10, and then if you told people that both teams scored only 2 tries in the second half, you'd be like, really? It was that damaging. But yeah, Raiders already had the top 8 spot locked in, but they didn't play like it because they put on a dominant display here, like they were fighting for a spot. As we said, it was over at halftime. I've got Joe Tapani, Hudson Young, Josh Papali'i were damaging up front, and the backs just had a field day. Jacko said the Tigers made the Warriors game look good. Yeah, I'm very thankful. I would rather lose by 1 point in Golden Point than if we got smashed like we ended last season as Warriors fans. But Jamal Fogarty for the Raiders, he was great too. They built some steam up, and they're getting a match against the Storm this week. Spoilers for our previews, but I think Melbourne will be worried, you know, especially considering the Raiders form at Amy Park in recent years. This could be a game that sees Melbourne potentially out of the finals in the first week if the Raiders can build on what they've done here. It's just great to see them play positive football, and I do want to see them go deep into the finals. I just like how they're playing right now. And Tigers, I've got nothing here. I just go, what can he say? And what could be the last NRL game it played at Leichhardt? This is not how they would have wanted it to end. It was hard to watch. The team's a mess, and the off-season couldn't come quick enough. They got so much work to do. Coruscant and Papali'i should help, but they're not going to be a magic fix by any means.
No, they're not. It's bad for the Tigers. You don't often see Raiders put 50-plus on teams. I struggle to think of the last time they would have done that, but they don't tend to put teams away by massive margins. They're a grindy sort of team the past few years. That's what makes it worse for the Tigers. I think that's the second year in a row they've gone out to end a year really poorly. I think last year it was the Dogs that pumped them. And that's the Dogs at their worst. So, yeah, needless to say, something needs to change there in Tigers land, but that was the round.
Yeah, awesome. So we'll go into our tipping comp and the final results for the regular season, if I can figure out how to put this on screen properly. Oh, yeah, I hope you guys can see that. So Richie won the round. He got 6 out of 8. I got 5 out of 8, and Simon, trying his best to get past everybody, he had a few games go against him, and he got 3 out of 8. So it sees me come out as a champion of the regular season. You know,
well done,
recovering from losing to you in the regular season last year, Richie. So I end with 133 out of 192. Richie, you stay in second place at 131 out of 192. And Simon takes third place, 127 out of 192. So it's still really close. It looked like I was going to run away with it like a Raider. But you guys stuck in there with me for a bit. So well done, everyone. It starts afresh this week. The finals we do differently. Let's see who wins that one. Hopefully I can go back to back. But I don't even know if we should bring it up, but I can bring up the ladder. We had no change for the top eight, and the only change is the Titans went up to 13th. Knights and Warriors went down to 14th and 15th. So any takes there, Richie, on the ladder before we move on?
Yeah, just that it was a big win for the Eels on the weekend because that put them in the four. So,
true. That was the only change. Yeah. They went to the top four and the Storm dropped out.
That could have massive ramifications. I mean, now the Eels have an extra life. They'll fancy themselves against the Panthers because they've already shown their hand this year and what they can do against the top team. So, but even if they lose it, they'll still get another bite at the cherry. So I think they'll go out with that feeling of not a lot to lose this weekend, could give it a good shake.
Yeah, and that makes them dangerous for the Panthers too. So, yeah, interesting times. And the last time we get to look at the ladder this year. So goodbye, ladder, and hopefully it looks better for Warriors fans next year.
Yeah.
And before we go, I'm just getting the other picture ready. Yay, I know what I'm doing. So we'll go to the questions. While I'm finding Nicholas's question, Jacko said he rates both Metcalf and Volks as top future first graders. Yep. I agree with him there. I think in the ideal situation, that is the Warriors starting halves, you know, not next year, but, you know, the year after or possibly the year after that. But, yeah, that's who I see. But what's your take on that, Richie, why I find Nicholas's question?
Yeah, it's hard to argue. I mean, obviously, Vox is highly touted, and Metcalf, we know what he can do. He just needs opportunity. And with Sean Johnson not getting any younger, it could happen. It could happen.
I think, yeah, it's not a matter of it will it happen. It'll be when it happens. I think that is the dream that the Warriors have given both of these players when they sign them, I don't think they were silly enough to say you're going to walk in and be a starting half at the Warriors, but saying like, this is where we want you to be. It's going to be up to you to get there. So, fingers crossed on that. But Nicholas's question for us was, what do you guys think has caused the dysfunction at Brisbane over the past month? They had such a great season before that.
It's hard to say. They have had a bit of chopping and changing their lineup. I think Paddy Carrigan getting suspended for his hip drop for a few weeks, that was a bit of a hammer blow because, as we saw in Origin, he wasn't far off probably picking up the man of the series. Who got man of the series? Did he get it? If he didn't get it, he would have been pretty close.
I can't honestly remember.
Was it Ponga? I can't remember, but he was one of Queensland's best. Prior to him being suspended, he'd been one of the Broncos' best for the first half of the season. And maybe I think you're right, Brad. Maybe they started believing a bit of the hype because there was a lot of hype around them sitting in the top four. probably got a bit dizzy up there, you know, having not been up there for a number of years, and a lot of those players wouldn't have known what it felt like.
Kerrigan did win it.
He did win it, didn't he?
Yeah, he got man of the series.
Yeah, so there you go. He's probably the Broncos' best player or most influential forward as an all-round player. You know, I know Payne Haas is a meter eater, but in terms of all-round performance and influence on the team, I think Paddy Carrigan's probably takes the top spot there for the Broncos. So they would have missed him big time. It would have been. It would have been a number of things, I think.
Yeah, I think it was a huge... Kerrigan was obviously a big impact, him being out. I think the contract dramas around Payne Haas probably had an effect on the team as well.
Yeah.
I also have a feeling that, no disrespect to Kevi, I kind of put Kevi Walters and Bluey McLennan together with their emotional coaches, and they get players up for the games by, like, spurring them on and not being as technical. And I think that's very hard as an NRL coach to do over so many weeks, which is why we saw Bluey sit there for a cup of tea before he got sacked. But I feel like week in, week out footy, you can't just keep relying on getting your guys up emotionally every week. I'm not there. I can't say that for truth. It's just how he comes across to me. And, you know, I know we talked, like, apparently there were rumors people weren't happy that he was yelling at them and stuff. And all that drama. So I don't know. It seems like some players really are engaged with how he coaches and others don't seem to click. And I think if he is your guy, you start weeding out the ones that don't click with him. But yeah, and Jacko's congratulating me on my comparison between Blue and Walters. Yeah, I think they're very similar. It's no disrespect for them as coaches.
No.
You know, but it takes a certain type, I think, to be, you know, able to get the best out of your team week in, week out. And who's to say that it doesn't all magically work for Brisbane next year? It's just, yeah, I think a huge spot of issues that hit at the same time, I think, derailed them.
Tyson Gamble almost confirmed that, didn't he, in that podcast? Where he said that Kevi Walters can get you up for a game. He can, you know, get you up for the match, but anything technically, they go to Adam Reynolds. Yeah.
Which isn't always going to work, but as long as there's not a power struggle, I guess, like, I'm not saying that there's a power struggle between Walters and Reynolds or anything, but if they both know their lane and know what their strengths are to help the team get better, that type of thing could work. I don't know, but yeah. I don't really want to throw stones in the glass house as a Warriors fan with how my team has been going. So I think they'll come right. They just need to figure out whatever caused the hiccup and iron that out, and then they'll be back to normal, I guess. But, thank you for that question that I just fumbled my way through. We'll go with your question to me first.
Yep, you bet. So with the Warriors season now finished, what's been your biggest disappointment for 2022, and what's been the most positive takeaway from 2022 from a Warriors perspective?
I want to make a joke and say the most disappointment was that it actually happened, and my best positive takeaway is that it's over. Yeah. But I've got on here my biggest disappointment, besides not making the finals, I think it was a tie between Chanel Harris-Tavita deciding to hang up the boots and leave, and the defensive effort all year. I think those are my biggest disappointments. Chanel, I still, you know, I put my big claim that Chanel will return to the Warriors and Roger will return to the Warriors after the World Cup. Those are my, you know, big statements that I'm making. But yeah, I really think there's still a lot of footy in Chanel, but I credit him for not bullshitting everyone and trying to get a big payday when his heart's not in it. He's like, no, I just want to leave. And if I want to play league again, I'll come back. So, but that was a big disappointment because I'm a big fan of him. And yeah, defensively, horrible. My positive takeaway, I've got two. Again, the experience young players like Valier and Ali got this year, you know, it wasn't great, but they got to play and learn on the job, as you say. And Kosi's redemption. I know Ruin Hammer, I think, have got Kosi on probably right now because we're going late. They got him on their show tonight. So I think he's done really well. I was savage on him after that Storm game, but he's really bounced back. And yeah, so that's a positive spin out of it. It's, we could have seen a young guy completely give up and never play again, but he's got better. And there's still a lot of work to do, but he's at least shown that he's got the ability to improve. So yeah, that's it. Do you have any?
The disappointments were, there were plenty of them, mate. Obviously, yeah, like you said, Chanel Harris-DeVita, the old bust up between the alpha males, Robinson and Lodge, and the fallout that happened there. Rhys Walsh, there have been plenty, even though I've moved past that now, and we seem to have come out of that one okay. The defense, just in general, the way we kind of limped through the season, picking up a win here and there and winding up with, what was it, five or six?
Six.
So just more than enough to count on one hand out of a 25-game season. My positives are, like you, some of the rookies. Viliami Valera, he looks a big prospect. Love the way Tom Ale looked the past couple games. He looks to have that mongrel about him, that aggression, that I know that's the kind of stuff you love. I love to see it too. The positives for me are coming next year, I think. Hopefully with you know, a bit of a rebuild. So yeah.
Yeah. All right. And my question for you. It was a doozy to throw on you, and I'm sorry. But
no, you're right.
With 15 players leaving the Warriors this year, we're going to see a new look side next year. What would be your game 17, your game day 17, if you had to pick a side right now?
Okay, I'll give you what I wrote down right now. It could change. It could change. Yeah. This was just first thoughts I had in my head. Anyone watching, you probably will disagree. So, disclaimer, I only somewhat know what I'm talking about. You know, we're couch potatoes that like to watch this game. And the more beers I have during the game, the more wild my ideas get. But what I wrote down was fullback, Chance Nickel-Klokstad, wingers, Montoya and Dylan Martinez-Lesniak, centers, I really want to see Viliami Valera get a start to the season and get some consistent game time. So he's one center. Dylan Walker, my other center. My halves, Tamari Martin and Sean Johnson. My front row, Fanua Blake, Tohu Harris, Wade Egan. My edge second rows, Barnett and Niokore. My 13, Josh Curran. Bench, Jazz Tavanga, Bunty Alfour, Aaron Penne, Ben Murdoch, Masilla.
It's not bad. And
I could go Tom Ale, I could go Metcalf somewhere in there. You know, that's just on the bench, but that's just what I put, like, from first impressions.
Yeah, and I've picked one too. It's a little bit different, but kind of the same. And in my season preview that I write next year, I pick my 17 based on what I've seen in preseason and whatnot. And I am probably pretty confident that this team I pick now won't be the team I picked then. So I've also got Chans at fullback. I've actually got Dallin and Kosi on my wings. In my centers, I've got Valia and Montoya. My halves are the same as yours, Tamari Martin and Sean Johnson. My front row is also the same as yours, AFB, Egan and Tohu. My second row is the same as yours, Barnett and Nuakore, and Curran as my lock. And then on my bench, I've got Dylan Walker as my 14, Bunty, my man, Ben Murdoch-Masilla, and Jazz. But yeah, as Jacko said, he doesn't mind your one. He commented before I finished mine. But it all comes down to what Webster sees as well. Webster might see a guy like... you know, Dylan Walker and go, he's still got it. He's going to be a center. Or he might even go, hell, we're going to throw him in the 5-8. We really don't know. I really hope he doesn't. I don't think that will. I'm just putting it out there. And we, yeah, it all comes down to what they say in the final or in preseason.
There's, there's so many different possible combos, mate. And to be fair, if I saw the back line you named, if that's the back line they were to roll out, I'd be equally happy with that, to be fair.
Yeah, and there'll be heaps of chop and change. You know, we might see Metcalf in there as well. Volkman might be included. There's so many. But yeah, that good questions. We may as well. We're running super late. This is what happened when Paul lets us have the keys without him here. But we'll go into finals week one. They've got a nice little pretty picture for us with Dylan Brown there. But only four games, which means we probably only have a 2-hour show next week reviewing them all. Simon early on gave me the picks, so I've got his picks, and I just need yours. So first up on Friday, we have Panthers versus Eels. Simon and myself have both backed the Panthers here.
Yeah, so did I, mate. I think surely this has got to be the time where a top team topples the Eels.
Yeah, I'm surprised the Eels have beaten the Panthers twice. I don't know if they can go three.
Third time lucky for the Panthers.
Yeah. Next game, we've got Storm and Raiders. I've gone with Storm and Simon's gone with Raiders. This was, and to be honest, most of these games were really flip of the coins for me. I could easily see the Raiders get the job done.
It is. It's home ground advantage edging it for me. Although you did rightly point out the Raiders don't mind playing there, but yeah. I'm going to go Storm.
Storm as well. I'm pulling for you, Simon. This is one I don't mind getting wrong to you.
Me too. I would love to see the Raiders win that one.
Yeah. Next up on Saturday, we have the Sharks Cowboys. Simon and myself have both gone with the Sharks. Flip of the coin, I went with home advantage.
Yeah, I did too. But that game is going to be something else.
So you've gone Sharks as well?
I went home ground advantage.
And then the last game, probably going to be the game of the realm for me, Roosters Rabbits. Simon and myself have both gone with the Roosters.
I'm going to go for a revenge. I'll tip Rabbitohs then.
Rabbitohs? You're picking Roosters, against the team that you predicted.
I know. Roosters got them this week. And yeah, I don't know. Something tells me a bit of revenge on the horizon. Could be completely wrong.
Yeah. So Jacko thinks the Cowboys have overachieved in Foldham finals. Yeah, I'm not going to say overachieved. I guess you could say overachieved. I think they've already hit their peak, which is probably another reason why I've gone with the Sharks. But, yeah, looking here, we've got two games that we all agreed on, which was Panthers beating the Eels and the Sharks beating the Cowboys. You and I both backed Storm to Simon's Raiders, and then me and Simon both backed the Roosters to your Rabbits. So, interesting there. So we'll definitely have someone in the lead. None of us have actually picked exactly the same. So that's at least a bonus. So before we sign off, I know we've gone super long, but that's what happens when daddy's not here, you know. So we'll go into Super League quickly before we go, because they've also had their final round and are moving into playoffs. So St. Helens, who finished first, and Wigan, who finished second, secured their spots in the semifinals, with Uddersfield third, Catalans fourth, Leeds fifth, and Salford sixth, all going into the elimination final spots. Toulouse, as we've already talked about, will be relegated. And I believe Lee will return, but I couldn't find any news confirming that. I assume the fact that they've lost one game in the lower grade, that they'll be the ones that come back up to the spot that they got relegated from before. I know the big guy in charge of Lee said not only if they were in Super League, would they become competitive? He said they'd be a top four side. So some big talks coming out of Lee. But yeah, the results, no big surprises. Uddersfield defeated Wakefield 16-14. Wigan, this is probably the only surprise of the round.
Yeah.
They wiped the floor with Catalans 48-4. Hull KR defeated Hull FC 36-4. Leeds defeated Castleford 14-8. Warrington defeated Salford 32-14. I guess that could be an upset. A team in the top six got beaten by a team that didn't make it. And then St. Helens defeated Toulouse 36-16. which means we've only got two games to talk about next week. The elimination round, which is Catalans versus Leeds versus Huddersfield versus Salford. The winner of those games will go up to face against Wigan and St. Helens. And then the winner of those goes straight into the grand final. So they're quick and sharp over there. And yeah, Jacko says cheers. Cheers for being with us, Jacko. And Simon also said the competition championship have their playoffs starting next week. They have to play in the playoffs and then they have a grand final. Yeah. And then the winner of the grand final gets promoted, right? And the championship have to play the last round before the playoffs. Yeah. I still think Lee, they've had one loss this year. So I feel like they're going to go all the way.
Yeah.
But anything else you want to add before we go, Richie?
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in and having a good chat as always. Always good fun. And well done in the driver's seat tonight, Brad. Professional as always. Yeah.
Thank you. And I think it's going to be enjoyable having to not discuss the Warriors games next week, as bad as that sounds. Nothing else really to add. We're going to join Rue and Hammer next Thursday. They're doing a Warriors end of year review and they've asked us to jump on. So if you guys watch Rue and Hammer as well, I think it's 9 o'clock New Zealand time. Next Thursday, check us out there. We'll probably remind everyone again next week on Wednesday when we're back here. But until then, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in and joining us on the Standoff with Brad and Richie. For your weekly update on Rugby League, tune into our show next week at 8 p.m. here on Facebook or at your convenience on iHeartRadio. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. Cheers again for joining me, Richie, and good night, everyone.
Cheers.